This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Hallelujah. If you can turn in your Bibles with me to Philippians 2, verse 19 to 22. And in the time that I've got left, I want to share a couple of thoughts with us around just what I believe God's heart is towards, a day like today gives us a wonderful opportunity to celebrate moms. And I'm fully convinced that in this church, we've got men and we've got children that don't just wait for a day like this to celebrate moms, amen. But the celebration of moms should be a lifestyle, and that we don't just wait for special days in which to do that. But that was a bit groot gaan vandaag, and we go a little bit extra to celebrate the wonderful woman that the Lord has given us in loving us and in supporting us. And I want to read for you from Philippians. Paul is writing this letter. The book of Philippians is a very special book. It's probably one of Paul's most tender books in Scripture. There's a deep-rooted affection towards the church in Philippi. It's a church that was very close to his heart. And when he writes to them, He speaks to them about his desire to be with them, but he's being delayed. And then he says to them, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. And so here we see a spiritual father coming and writing to his friends, writing to a group of believers with whom he had a very good relationship. And he says to them, I'm hoping to send you one of my own. I'm hoping to send to you someone that represents me well. When you see Timothy, you will see me. Now that is a massive statement, because Paul was a massive guy. Apparently he was quite short, and apparently he was the shortest guy. People underestimated him physically, but in the spirit, he was a giant. And he would often say that he came to bring the word, not just in word, but in word and in power. And now he says that he's sending Timothy, a guy who is like-minded, who has the same heart. In other words, who has the same spirit, the same anointing upon him. And that is a massive statement to make. You know, I wouldn't mind having some of Paul's spirit upon me. Amen. I wouldn't mind having some of his determination, some of his anointing, the ability to bring the word with such clarity, with such power, to see broken bodies healed, to see deliverance come to many. That was an amazing anointing that Paul carried upon his life. Wherever he went, he brought forth life. And now he says, guys, I can't be with you, but I'm sending someone else. I'm sending Timothy, my own son. I'm sending him to you. And I want you to accept him. I want you to know that he's got a proven worth. He's been in the fire. He's been purified. He's not just a guy that's starting off. He's not someone that's just trying to impress others. He's not just doing this because it's a good idea. He's got a proven worth. He's been tested. He's been through the fire. I know who he is, and I trust him. Whatever he says to you, take it as from me. So it's a massive vote of confidence that Paul gives this relatively young guy called Timothy. And Timothy was an incredible, incredible young man and an incredible companion to Paul, and in actual fact was one of Paul's closest friends. But the beautiful thing about Timothy is this, that when Paul walks into his life and we see Paul discipling Timothy and raising him up, he calls him his own son, he calls him someone that's like-minded. But the incredible thing about the story is that Timothy's discipleship didn't start with Paul. Paul was able to build upon the foundation that was already laid in Timothy's life. And so when we look at Timothy, we see somebody who was on an exponential growth curve. Someone who overtook a lot of other people much older than him because of the foundation that he had been given. And so when Paul arrives on the scene, Paul takes him in, Paul develops him, Paul disciples him, and Paul releases him, but in a very short space of time, this young man becomes the overseer of a massive group of churches. And a clue to this is found in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. And by the way, I just want to say a warm welcome again to all of our visitors visiting us here for the first time. Really pray that you'll enjoy the service. All the friends that have come as well, thank you so much for being here, Gabriel. Your friends that you've brought, we appreciate you guys being here together with your kids, and we trust that you're going to have an awesome time with us. But here in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, Paul is speaking directly to Timothy now. And he's saying, Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith. Right, Timothy, when I'm thinking of you, I'm thinking not so much just about your words. I'm not just thinking about your religious duties and all of those things. I am reminded of your sincere faith, your genuine faith. Timothy, you are the real deal. You are the real deal, he says. And then he says something very profound. He says, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lewis and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. And so here we see one of the massive keys to Timothy's growth is that when Paul arrived on the scene, when he engaged with Timothy, and when he met Timothy, Timothy wasn't a born-again believer yet. He came from a Jewish background. But his mom and his grandmother had raised him with an expectation, with an understanding of who God is. His dad was a Greek. His dad didn't know the Lord. It must have been a very tough environment to have a mom that loved God and a dad that wanted nothing to do with God, or a dad who worshipped a whole lot of idols. We don't know too much about Timothy's dad. All we know was that he was a Greek and he wasn't a believer. And yet we have this grandmother and we have this mother that in spite of their husband and their son's rejection of the gospel and rejection of the faith, manages in very difficult circumstances to put something inside of Timothy that enabled him to have this substance, enabled him to have this latent possibility. So by the time Paul walks into his life, it was just ignition. It was just a launching that took place. And sometimes we look at somebody's life and we're like, yo, that guy just came out of nowhere. You know, there was just like a quick breakthrough. But it's rarely a quick breakthrough. It might appear quick on the outside, and you might think, yes, like that oak just, you know, he's got all the breaks and everything, but there's normally a lot of stuff that's happening behind the scenes. And in Timothy's life, that something started in the womb. Started with a grandmother that loved God and raised a daughter. We don't know whether it's her own daughter, whether it's her son's daughter. But what we do know is there were two generations investing in Timothy. Not just one generation, you know, not just even Eunice, his mom, but his grandmother as well. And I believe that part of the last works that the Lord is doing at this time is to get us not just to raise our own kids well, but also to get us to walk in reconciliation and restoration with our own parents. I think there's a lot of pressure very often we put upon the nuclear family. That God is saying, I want that pressure to be diffused. I've actually designed this whole thing to work a lot better if it works transgenerationally. And we see with Timothy, we see that the reason why God wants the generations to work together is because he wants Timothy's. He wants people who have a much greater understanding of who God is. I had a chat with a friend of mine yesterday who's having to break some cycles in his life. You know, he's in his mid-40s and he's now identifying some roots of rejection that he went through with his own dad. No boundaries, a lot of just brokenness in his life, and he's having to wrestle through those things. And he's got a teenage son, and I said to him, I'm putting out my faith that your son will work through his issues with you a lot sooner than you working your issues out with your own dad. That the cycles get shorter and they get less intense, and the blessings grow and the blessings increase. Amen. But not all of us start off on the same foundation. And Timothy had an incredible foundation, and I don't know where you fit in the spectrum. I don't know whether you, the Lewis, the grandma, that have children that love the Lord and you pray for them, and maybe grandchildren that love God as well. I don't know whether you're in that spectrum. If you are there, then I want to encourage you, continue to pray. Continue to invest. Continue to spend your life. Do we have any grandmothers in this? Yes, we do have a grandma here. Is there more than another grandma? And another grandma, yes, hallelujah. Let's give the grandmas a clap in the house. Yes, you are amazing. We love you. I don't see any grandpas. Do we have grandpas here as well? Grandfathers? Ah, it's not opa work, yeah. Amen. Opa, you for the noka under club. Come on. Yes. What would a grandma be without a grandpa? And, you know, if that's you, I'm going to encourage you, keep on sowing. Keep on sowing the seeds of love. Keep on sowing the prayers. Keep on sowing the investment in time. But I suspect for most of us, we're on the Eunice level. We're there where we're having to raise the Timothys. We're there where we're having to put a foundation into the lives of our children. And I've got sort of three questions that I keep on asking myself and speaking to moms here this morning, but it's as applicable to us as dads. Sort of three questions I believe is important for us if we want to be intentional about raising up a godly offspring. And that is, what kind of memory? So whenever I engage with my children, whenever I plan, whenever I think of my children, whenever I think of how I'll respond to them, I think it's important for us to understand that what I do to them and with them will leave memories behind with them. And those memories will become their frame of reference for the future. Those memories will become their expectations. Those memories will become launching pads, or it will become stumbling blocks for them. And so it is very important for us to be intentional about the memories we leave behind. To be intentional about those memories. And I want to encourage you to really think about, what are the memories I'm wanting my kids to have of me? What are the things I want them to remember of this moment? You know, sometimes we think of like a holiday. You know, we want to create special memories, and they are amazing. But it's not the big moments that change our lives, really. It's the little moments day by day that change our lives, that leave the foundation. And I want to encourage you to, maybe there's some memories that you carry with you that you need to bring to the Lord and say to God, God, those memories are not lekker. You know, maybe I've done some things that I'm not proud of, to bring them back to the Lord Jesus, to bring them to the blood of Jesus, and to allow Him to bring healing over them. Then do I want my children and my grandchildren to imitate my spiritual life? Yo, yeah, that's the biggie, isn't it? That's the biggie. The reality there that just bringing them to church is really not going to be the most important thing in their lives. Do I want my children to imitate my spiritual life? My spiritual life, the way that I live, the way that I read the Word, the way that I relate to God, and to understand this, that as a dad, as a parent, as a mom, as a father, that how I live my spiritual life will influence and impact my children much more than any book, any sermon they will ever read or listen to. And do I want my children spiritually to be like what I am? Do I want that? And if I don't want that, if there are things that I'm saying, yo, no, I don't want them to have that, am I prepared to change that? Am I prepared to walk in accountability with people and to say, help me to work through this? You know, so constantly for me as a pastor, my big challenge, which I've confessed to you often, is not to be the pastor here. Not just to be the pastor here, not just to be professional at what I do, but to have my as we heard this week, we did a course, have my backstage, in other words, the things that people do not see, match my front stage. Because the backstage determines and really fuels the front stage. And I can impress some people at work, and I can impress people around me that might think I'm tremendously loving and kind and all of that, but what are my children seeing spiritually of me? And I think it's something that is just driving me. One of the greatest privileges I have is to be able to, still when I visit my folks, to see the light go on sometimes when I sleep over there, 4 o'clock in the morning. That's the way that my first memory of my dad would be, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, lights on, busy having quiet time. 70 odd now, still persistently, consistently still doing that, still challenging me just through his life, creating and leaving behind memories. And he didn't start off like that. Those weren't his memories. His memories in the middle of the night were waking up afraid as mom and dad are fighting and as the alcohol abuse and things happening in the house. Those were his memories. But through the grace of God, he was able to create new ones. So none of us can really just say, you know, I didn't have that. We can say, God, I want that. I want that. And through your power, I will have that. What are the memories that we are leaving behind? And then will they want my Jesus? In other words, am I making Jesus attractive to them? Because to them, I'm the biggest representation of Jesus. Am I making Jesus attractive to my children? The way that I represent him, will they want to fall in love with Jesus? Will they want to have him as a friend? Will they want to have him as their confidant? And I don't know about you, but those are challenging questions. But I believe as parents, we don't have an option. We cannot be lackadaisical about the next generation. We cannot just like waltz in, waltz out of their lives and not have a plan. So I want to encourage you to live intentionally. If we want to be a Eunice and a Lewis, and we want to raise up Timothy's, will be on a growth spurt unlike anything we have been through. Let's be intentional about raising our kids in a godly way. You know, godly parents, godly moms, they abound in Scripture, right throughout the Old Testament, Sarah, Hannah, just so many godly parents. But I want you also this morning, ladies, those of you that are not moms, you're not a Eunice, you're not a Lewis, to be encouraged, because the Bible has got a great deal to say about ladies who were not mothers. And Mother's Day is profound and it's important and it's a massive blessing that God gives us. But not being a mom doesn't disqualify you from being used by God. The Bible's got a lot to say about women. And I very quickly want to just run through a couple of them. And I'll send the slides to you in the week as well. But some of our most profound spiritual doctrines, understanding of who God is, was delivered to us and was revealed to us through Jesus' encounter with women. Think about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. All right, she should not have been speaking to Jesus, and Jesus should not have been speaking to her. There's a rabbinical saying that says that he that talks much with women brings evil upon himself. So the rabbis of Jesus' day, you can go and look at all of their writings, they never had a woman in there. They never used the woman as an example. They never engaged with women. And so Jesus, as a rabbi, all of his stories, almost all of them, had women in them. He broke the mold, and he chose to reveal so much of who he is through women. All right, and here we find the Samaritan woman, a woman who had four or five husbands meeting Jesus, and Jesus doesn't condemn her. Jesus speaks life into her. Jesus says, you are more than your four or five marriages. You are more than abuse. You are more than a betrayal. You are more than the adultery. You are a child of God. And I'm gonna engage with you and see life come forth from you. And she becomes the first mass evangelist, goes back to her village, and all of them come to Jesus. All of them get saved. Isn't that amazing? About how God can take a broken life and turn it around. Doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. Doesn't matter how far down you are. Doesn't matter what people have done to you and what they've called you. When you meet Jesus, he gives you a new personality. He changes you. He stirs fountains in you and sets you on a course to redemption. The woman caught in adultery, she should have died, right? She should have been stoned. Jesus says, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. One of the most powerful sayings ever, he who has no sin, cast the first stone. You know, nobody could do it. And Jesus spoke life over her. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Sets her free. Caught in sin, and yet she receives life in Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, you know, such a beautiful example of faith. And again, she was supposed to be isolated from her community because of what she went through, because of her illness. And yet she pushed through the crowd, pushed through the crowd. And the only time in Scripture that Jesus says, who touched me? A woman touched him. And thousands of people touched him, but she really touched him. She pushed through the crowd. She touched him, and power came forth out of him. Such a powerful example of how faith can move the hand of God. Faith can move the hand of God. And there's nothing mentioned about her being married or having children or not. But all of these women, just go and read the stories. They're not called mothers in there. They're simply women in their own right. So God doesn't look at you and doesn't value you and doesn't engage with you based upon the amount of children that you have or do not have. It is a profoundly important ministry to have children. It is one of the greatest blessings God has given us. We impact our children and we set them up for success with God's grace, unlike anybody else can do. It is tremendous. But I want you just to hear my heart, what I feel the Holy Spirit is saying to us, that children, the amount of children, the lack of children, the presence or absence of children, do not have to be the determining factor in your life as to how you engage with God. You are more than the number of children. You are more than how successful you feel as a mom. You're more than just what the Mother's Day card says or doesn't say. Okay, Mary Magdalene, delivered from seven demons, that's a lot of demons, that took hold of her. And she became one of the most important supporters of Jesus' ministry. She was the first one that Jesus came to after he got resurrected from the dead. She was demon-possessed. She scared people. People didn't want to be around her. Jesus touched her, healed her, set her free. A beautiful story. The woman in the alabaster flask of oil, to someone who came to anoint Jesus. And Jesus said, wherever this gospel is being preached, people will talk about her. People will mention her name. They will talk about her extravagant love. She didn't hold back. Eugene spoke about it this morning. She gave everything, poured it out upon Jesus. And so we can go on. Two of Jesus' best friends were women, Mary and Martha. Jesus would go to their house often, Bethany. Just a house where he went to get away from all the ministry, all the thousands of people, and all the miracles that he had to perform. With Mary and Martha, Jesus didn't have to perform any miracles. He could just be himself. He could just be with them. Two of Jesus' best friends were these two ladies. And then there's this beautiful parable about Jesus speaking about the woman that loses a coin, finds it again, searches for it, finds and rejoices over the coin. And he says, so is the joy in heaven. Basically using the woman's joy to say, this is how much Father God rejoices over a lost one. That is profound, that Jesus would use a woman to actually say, look at her and you will see something of Father God's heart. You will see something in her. Okay? And then just the last one there, the persistent widow and the judge. A woman that just kept on coming back to God, kept on coming back to the judge and say, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice. And God answered her prayer. Such a beautiful story of persistence and how God responds to our hearts. If we go beyond Jesus and we just look at the New Testament, there's Lydia. I think many of you would be familiar with her. Lydia was a businesswoman, right? She had a lovely clothing range of purple dresses, clothes that she sold. Right? Very expensive. Only the top guys in Hollywood fashion would wear that. Right? Only the top guys. Poor people didn't wear it. It was very rich people they bought from her. Paul isn't planning on going to Macedonia. He isn't planning on going to Europe. He's still ministering in Asia Minor. And then he gets this Macedonian call. I think you guys can all remember that. This man appears to him in a dream and says to him, come over, come over. We're busy dying. Come and bring us the gospel. And so Paul leaves everything and he heads towards Europe. A man in a dream came to him saying, come to us. Come to us, come to us. You know, it's the first person in Macedonia that gets saved. It's not a man, it's a woman. If Paul had got stuck on the exact details of his dream, no, it was a man that called me to come over to Europe, to Macedonia. I think he could have missed a great opportunity. But he was open. The Bible says there weren't enough men in that town to have a synagogue. So he meets these women next to the river, chats to them, and the Lord does an amazing thing. Lydia gives her life to the Lord. Her entire house comes to salvation. There's no mention again of her husband. And the Philippian church gets planted in her own house. In and from that house is where the church grew and the church became powerful. Right there. There is something so beautiful that we hear often in Scripture where it says, and the Lord opened up her womb and she conceived. Beautiful, beautiful. With Lydia here, similar terminology is used. And it says, the Lord opened Lydia's heart. I think it's a great miracle for a womb to be opened. None of us can create life on our own. It's a miracle from God. It's a great miracle. But there's another miracle. It's when the heart gets opened up. And that happened to Lydia. Her heart gets opened up and something changes. She goes from not knowing God intimately to becoming a friend of God. And her heart opens up and then her house opens up. And there's something so beautiful about women is that when they give, you give everything. You don't give in compartments like we as men sometimes do. And that was the same for Lydia. When the Lord opened her heart, she opened her home, she opened her wallet, she opened up everything that she had. And I want to encourage some of you ladies in this room this morning, if there are parts of you that have dried up, parts of you that feel dead, parts of you that feel, I've got to protect this, I can't trust people around me, then I want to encourage you to look away from those around you and to look to God and ask Him, God, open up my heart. Open up my heart to your dreams. Open up my heart to your purposes. Open up my heart to your perspective. When God opens up a heart, miracles flow. Beauty flow. Joy can come forth out of that. And I believe in a very real sense, Lydia gave birth to the work of Christ in her town and in the continent of Europe. She gave birth to God's purposes. Who knows what God is still wanting to birth in this congregation through you as women? Who knows what lies inside of you if you would just open up your heart and allow God to birth what he wants to through you. There's so much already that has begun here, but I believe that the Lord is saying, just prophetically, there's a lot more that lies latent in your spiritual womb. You've got to give it to God. Give it to him and ask him, Lord, open up my womb. Open up my heart. Phoebe is another one. Phoebe was a wealthy sponsor of Paul's mission. She was the one that delivered the letter to Romans. She was a deacon that worked alongside Paul. And she was a leader in her local church. And Paul trusted her again. And he sends this letter with her to the Romans. And not only was she a messenger, she also sponsored Paul. She provided for him financially. There's this beautiful comment by one of the early church historian writers, Theodoret. And he says, Paul opened the world to her, to Phoebe. And in every land and sea, she is celebrated. For not only do the Romans and the Greeks know her, but even all the barbarians. So this woman traveled. She traveled because she had a purpose in her heart. Something inside of Phoebe, a wealthy person, a wealthy woman, who said, I'm not just going to live for my own wealth. I'm going to live for the gospel. I'm going to live for the gospel. I'm not going to settle for where I am. I'm not going to just settle for what people say about me in my future. I'm going to sponsor the gospel. I'm going to sponsor the gospel. I'm going to take the gospel to wherever it needs to go. And Isabel is left now, but I believe that on that little girl rests that same kind of anointing, to go places. And I want to encourage you as ladies to embrace God's calling upon your life. If you're married, you work it through with your husband in agreement. If you're not married, then you work it through with God and with people that are you're walking with in accountability. But God doesn't put limitations on you. God doesn't see the way the man sees. Take the limits off. Take the limits off what you think is possible. Because God chose to use this woman, and I believe all of my heart he wants to use you as well. There's this beautiful story about Fanny Crosby. I think all of us know the beautiful hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. A beautiful, beautiful song written many, many years ago. Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 Christian songs. She was severely criticized for trying to feminize the church. The men criticized her for bringing in too many soft songs. I'm glad she didn't listen to them and gave us Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. A woman born blind. She was blind. She wrote it. Just such a powerful spirit of God inside of her. And she opened up her heart and opened up her songwriting skills so that God could birth songs through her that many, many, many years later still change people's lives. Who knows the songs that are in this room that God is wanting to release? Only God knows. Bring him your mind, bring him your heart, bring him your womb. Say, Lord, open my mind. Lord, open my womb. Lord, open my skill set for the glory of your name. And then I'm done. Luke 11, verse 27 to 28. As Jesus was busy teaching, and he was saying a lot of things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. Blessed is your mom, Jesus. She must have been an awesome woman, and we know that Jesus loved his mom greatly. Some of his last words were to make sure that his mom was taken care of. But here he says, yes, it's fine, she's blessed, but blessed rather, or more blessed, is the more accurate literal translation of that phrase. More blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Motherhood is incredibly blessed. It is a tremendous blessing that God gives us. But coupled to that, the blessing that God is wanting to instill in us is the blessing of obedience. The blessing of obedience. Say, wherever you find yourself, whether you have the kid or whether you don't have the kid, whether the little baby is 6 months old and keeping you awake, whether the baby is 16 years old and keeping you awake, obedience is the thing that grants us favor with God. Obedience. And each one of us has the responsibility, irrespective of the season that we are in, to find out from God. God, in this season right now, in my grandmother's season, in my mom's season, in my child's season, wherever I'm in, what are you wanting to open up through me? Because that is what leads to the blessing of God. Just being married automatically doesn't carry a significant blessing. We know of many, many married people that are severely struggling. And it's more traumatic being together than being apart. Just having children automatically doesn't carry a blessing. Being obedient whilst you're married carries a blessing. Being obedient while you're a mom, by yourself as a single mom, or by your dad as a single dad, or together, that carries a blessing of God. If we want to carry God's blessing, just like coming to church doesn't automatically carry a blessing. Being obedient while we're coming to church carries a blessing. Because not the hearers of the word, it's the doers of the word that carry the favor of God upon our lives. And so parents, moms, dads, my plea to you this morning simply is live deliberately. Know that everything that you do, every action that you take is either building or breaking down. We're either launching our kids or our grandchildren, and I trust that you also see that it's not just physical, that all of us have a role to play. We can open up our home for a small group. We can open up our heart for a ladies' gathering. We can open up our wallets to support, whatever the case might be, that we would embrace the opportunity for God to come and do through us what he wants to do through us. Lydia's, Phoebe's, the Mary's, arise. Take hold of this year. Let Mother's Day not just be a Mother's Day. Let it be a day where you engage with God around, God, what is your purpose for my life? And those that don't have children, don't switch off because you're not a mom. God has called you to be a spiritual mom. Like Lydia, mothered that congregation in her house. And whatever the things are the devil is trying to bring against you, none of them need disqualify you if God has put his hand upon your life. Let us stand. I want the band to come to the front. Please tell my wife I was short. Shorter. Can we close our eyes? I want to pray for us. Father, I want to thank you, God, for this day, Lord, that you've given us. A day in which we can rejoice in you. Lord, a day in which you are just through your Spirit wanting to just confirm again, God, to us that you are no respecter of persons, Lord. God, that whether it's the woman at the well that has lost everything, that has been through the mill, and she's been used by so many men and thrown away, and she has lost all self-worth. Or whether it's the wealthy Lydia or Phoebe. God, that you don't see the way that man sees. That Jesus, in you, there was always a safe place for women. Always a safe place, Lord, for their hearts and for their dreams and for their even the insecurities and their fears. And Father, I pray that you will make us as a church a safe place like that, God. I pray, Lord, that here will be a place, Lord, where nurturing will take place. As we heard this morning, Lord, that this hospital will be a place where Jesus, you as the healer of broken bodies and broken hearts and broken minds and broken relationships will be enthroned, Lord of all, King of kings. And Father, I pray for the precious, precious moms in this room. God, those who have felt their calling, just the tension and the struggle so often between the priorities at home and the things that they want to do with all of their hearts, they want to do it and they rejoice in doing it, but sometimes it just feels a little bit like a jail, feels a little bit like they're caged and trapped inside. I pray, Lord, that you would open their hearts. Open their hearts to see what you want them to see in this season of their lives, Father. While the little ones are small, how they can raise them up like Eunice and Lewis did for Timothy, God. How they can impart and nurture and bless and raise up. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. I just sense in my spirit that they are the women here, you are incredibly gifted and skilled and experienced. You've got, you actually have like, it's like you've got quite a couple of degrees behind your name. Just things that you work towards, and now it's like you're not using any of that, and you feel so useless in your heart. You feel so useless, and God is just wanting to speak a word of identity over you. Just a word of identity over you. Say to you that you are not those degrees. You are not those things. And yet he also knows what it cost you to get there. And it's when he says to you that none of the tears that you cried in the process, none of the drops of sweat that you sweat in the process is in vain. I see you just skydiving. I see you jumping out of this plane just with abandonment and with joy. And God is saying that he's releasing over you just the spirit of joy. A joy to carry you through the waiting. Through the waiting, there are things even spiritually And the second group is, I feel there's deep spiritual things God has spoken to you even whilst you were a student. And God spoke to you very clearly and you feel, oh, things have just, they've been dumbed down. I'm not close to living that, to fulfilling that. And God is wanting to release a word of destiny over you as well. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you are also in this room this morning and you don't know Jesus, Jesus is in your safe place. He's in a safe place for you. There are a lot of things that the Bible says the devil has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. The devil is the liar. The devil is the one that breaks down. He's the one that lies to us and abuses us and breaks us down. But Jesus is the one that builds us up. Maybe you've even been disappointed in church and church has dropped you. And Jesus is here to call you to Himself, to call you to a place of safety and of protection. So if you are here this morning and you want Jesus just to speak into your life in any one of those areas, don't just quickly want to come to the front, because some of the facilitators would love to pray with you. If you want to just surrender your life to Jesus, maybe for the second time or the third time, maybe for the first time, you haven't found Him to be that safe place for you, man or woman, and you want to come, you want to say, Jesus, I want to surrender my life to You. I want to have hope again. I want to have peace again. Don't just want to step out from where you are. Maybe you're in a career that's frustrating you. Maybe you're at home where there's a lot of frustration and you don't know where Jesus is heading with you. You just want Him to open up your heart. Don't you want to come as well? I want to pray with you. If there's anyone here this morning and you know that there's some stuff in your heart that you've locked up and you need the Holy Spirit to come and unlock it so your dreams can flow again, so the purpose that God has for you can flow again. So if that is you, just quickly step out where you are. I want to pray with you and trust God. Male or female, doesn't have to be, even just ladies. Thank you, Father. Don't be shy, just come. There are generations at stake. Now the beautiful thing is that when God engages with us, He engages with us as the individual, but there are generations at stake. There's so much restoration that God is wanting to do. Is there anyone else this morning? Just step out from where you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your pulling and Your drawing. We thank You, Lord, for the confidence that You give us to draw near to You unafraid. There's destiny at stake here. Let us pray, as believers, let us pray. There's destiny at stake. Father, thank You. I thank You, Lord. I'm going to delay it 30 seconds. Some more. There's still one or two of you that the Holy Spirit has shown me. You just need to come. To surrender to God. If there's a river that He's wanting to just flow through your life, unashamedly, beautifully, just have it flow. Beautiful. The Lord just showed me a beautiful, pure, clean river that God is releasing. Clean river. Just a clean river. Clean river of cleansing. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Father, we come before You, Lord, this morning, and we thank You for Your incredible love for us, God. We thank You that You know the end from the beginning. We thank You that You are good to us. We thank You, Lord God, for restoring broken down foundations, Lord, in this room right now in Jesus' name. We thank You, Lord God, for how You come and You lift us up, Lord, and You enable us to build. You enable us, Lord, to put one foot in front of the other. There's a supernatural download of strength coming right now in Jesus' name. Just sense it, a supernatural download of strength. Strength to continue, strength to not give up, strength to continue, strength to walk, strength to run, strength to soar. Thank You, Lord, for the strength of the eagle there. Ladies, the Lord is restoring you and He's giving you eagle's wings, He says. He's giving you eagle's wings. You're not a turkey. You're not a little chicken on the ground. Even though your circumstances might feel like it, you have been created to soar and to fly like an eagle. So God, we thank You We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We're going to continue to pray for our friends here at the front. The band is going to lead us in a song. I'm going to just pray a prayer of blessing over you if you need to go, if you've got a Mother's Day appointment. I know some of you need to go. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your incredible love for us. We thank you, Lord, that I can speak a blessing over the mums in this room, Father. I pray especially, Lord, for healing of our relationships with our parents, Lord, there where there's wounds, Lord God, brokenness, that you would come, that you would restore, Lord God. I speak especially healing, Father, over the area of mother-to-daughter relationships, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, for healing, Lord, that you restore the lifeline, Lord God, of freedom. Lord, freedom, freedom, freely to love, freely to forgive, freely to even ask for forgiveness, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we consecrate this day unto you, and we thank you that it will be a blessed day, a glorious day, a wonderful day, Lord, that will usher in even a new season. Lord, not just for individuals here, but for families, for couples, for us as a church, in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord. If you need to slip out, please slip out quietly. You can fellowship in the foyer. But let's praise him. If you can hang around.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.